It's good to be here on this Sunday night, and I'm glad you're here. Glad that you came to the Lord's house on a Sunday night, and I'm honored to be here. And me and the preacher, we did eat well today, and I looked over there, and we'd already ate half of it, and we went out for, you know, give 30 minutes or an hour, and however long it was, and I heard some chomping, and the preacher was back involved, and it's your pastor that was back chomping, and he flung a craving on me, and he basically threw the bag, not threw it, but kind of moved it over where I could get a hold of it, and yours truly finished off the brittle, and I told you this morning, I picked up about 20-something pounds, and here's how I look at that. I'm just preparing if I get sick. I got a fighting chance. Somebody save me. I shouldn't tease about it. It is good to be here. I've enjoyed the great day. Thank you. Several of you have been very kind, and I enjoyed the service this morning, the folks that gathered in the altar looking for help. I still believe our help is found in Him, and He's our help. And if you have your Bible, I want you to go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. I believe it was a year before I preached out of this same text in this church. Matter of fact, if you find the notes, I preached when heaven shakes the house. Not going to preach that, but I am going to go to Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to begin in verse 23. And I'm going to read verse 23 and verse 24, and then I'm going to read verse 34 and verse 40. And I'm going to show you something tonight, maybe you've never seen. Some of the things you'll be familiar with, and then there'll be a few things maybe you've never considered out of this familiar text. Acts chapter 16 and verse 23. When you get there, would you shout a big amen? If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Everybody say prison.
Prison.
Charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Go down to verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Look with me in verse 40. They went out of the prison and entered into the house. There's that word again, the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for every man, every lady, every boy and girl that is assembled into the house of God. I thank you for the great day. Thank you for the Lord's day. Thankful that we're here again on a Sunday night. I pray that, God, that as I preach, that the Holy Ghost, the presence and the power of God would minister to our hearts. If there's anybody lost, let this be the night that they'd walk an aisle and kneel at the foot of the cross. If there's any in need of real revival, God, that they would get hungry for the things of God. God, that you would shake this church, that you would shake us individually and corporately, that you would speak to us and challenge us tonight. We thank you for what you're doing at Cornerstone. We thank you for the good service we had this morning. We pray that the sweet Spirit of God would have its will and way. Do tonight, God, what only you can do. And we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. Pastor Carl, I've read to you the Bible account, a very familiar text about the prison house. But then I continued to read and I went a little further. I not only read verse 23 and 24, then I picked up verse 34, and then I picked up verse 40. And if you followed along with me, you would consider that there were three houses in this text. Now, I'm going to give them to you like this. There is the prison house. There is a Philippian jailer's house. Then lastly, there's Lydia's house. You say, Brother Derek, what's going to be your sermon? I'm glad you asked. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight on this thought. God makes house calls. I like it so much, I'm going to hit the rewind button and Brother John and say it again. God makes house calls. I remember when I was a boy, some of you, I don't know if I told you this morning, I'm 42 years young, and I've been a traveling preacher since I was 13. And I remember a day, especially my mom and daddy would tell me that there was a day, Derek, when the doctor would come to our house and he would make a house call. I mean, he would literally come to where you are and check your ailments and see what's wrong with you and doctor you in your own house. Boy, that's not how it is today. Would you shout amen? Amen. I mean, today we go to a doctor and we go to the, you know, we walk in and we write our name on this little chart and then we wait. How many know you wait for 30, 45 minutes for the doctor to see you? And I mean, yeah, I heard some of you say an hour or two. And I mean, you know, now how it is, and I won't get into healthcare. You know, if you want to make people mad, talk about healthcare. We're going to get off of that right now. So we're not going to bring up politics either, but I'm going to say this. So now we go to a doctor and wait on him to come and check us out. But back in the day, the doctor would come to where we are. I'm glad tonight that when my life is in pain, I'm glad tonight when life doesn't make sense. I'm glad tonight that there is a God that'll make a house call. There's a God that knows what I'm going through. There's a God that can come to where I live. And he still makes house calls. Now, I'm going to walk us through the text. There are three houses that God makes house calls. He made a house call in the prison house. He made a house call in the Philippian jailer's house. He made a house call in Lydia's house. Now, you say, man of God, is it going to take you long? Well, I got the pulpit early, so I don't think it'll take near as long. Number one, if you're a note taker, I want you to jot this down. I want to show you the prison house. Now, give me a few moments of your time. It's interesting to me, Brother Carl, that God is doing something at the prison house. Would you agree with me on a Sunday evening that the prison house is a cold place? Would you agree with me it is a callous place? Would you agree with me? It's not a real good environment. Matter of fact, I'm just going to get real with you. There's probably some things going on in the prison house. There's probably some dialogue. There's probably some vocabulary. There's probably some interesting exchanges between the prisoners. Would you agree with me? There's some stuff you would want to hear. And so it's cold and it's calloused and it's a dark place. God, begin to deal with me. And I said, God, what do you want me to tell you people? He said, Derek, I don't care what kind of environment it is. He said, I don't care how cold it is. He said, I don't care how calloused it is. He said, Derek, I can show up in the prison house. So that got me. I'm just telling you, that excited me right there. You said, why does that excite you? You ought to see some of the places I preach in. I mean, you need the Holy Ghost. I mean, the power of God to walk in that room. God said, Derek, look at this. And Brother Carl, I love this. God said, Derek, I can draw water out of a dry well. God said to me, he said, Derek, I have the power to get life out of a graveyard. And he said, I can make house calls. So here is the wonderful news. Go to verse 25. I'm going to walk us through God making a house call in the prison house. I'm going to show us something tonight. Look at verse 25. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Everybody say prayed. Boy, that's a forgotten word in the local church. They prayed. Then they sang praises unto God. I like this church. And the prisoners heard them. Now, I could spend a week, and I'm not going to, but here's what I want you to write down. I want you to make this mental note, or make this note tonight. Praise of his servants is being rendered. The praise of his servants is being rendered. It's at midnight. Just bear with me. Brother John, it's midnight and they begin to pray. It's midnight and they begin to sing songs of Zion. And I got to thinking, I know this probably doesn't apply here, but I got to thinking about the local church. I mean, most of the churches I preach to, they grumble, mumble, and complain. Amen. And they're upset. They don't like this and they don't like that. And they got this is wrong and that's wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, God didn't have to have the right kind of environment. And God walked into that room and praise of his servants is being rendered. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that. I deal with churches on a weekly basis. I mean, I preach every night of my life. And here's what I've concluded about the right kind of environment. I've been in churches, if they don't have their favorite singer, they can't worship. I mean, if it's not their favorite preacher, they can't amen. Well, I'm doing pretty good tonight. Hey, I mean, you know that's true. And they got to have the right kind of environment. And they got to have it just right to praise God. Oh, give us some people on a Sunday night that'll just worship God, whether the environment's like they want it or not, but they'll glorify the King of Kings. Amen. Now, just let me get off of that, or I'm going to preach a long time on that. But here's what I'm going to say about Paul and Silas. Brother Carl, that blessed me. And they were not forced to praise God. They freely praise God. Now, Brother John, I know you like to sing, and I like to hear you, and I like all the singings you had tonight. But oh, isn't worship good when people aren't forced? And I mean freely they lift their hands, and freely they lift their voices, and freely they begin to weep, and freely they begin to worship God. Would you agree with me? God makes house calls. When the praise of his servants is being rendered. Now, I'm not done. Give me just a minute. And so sometimes it begins to build and you can't help yourself. But it was midnight. It was at midnight when they prayed. It was at midnight when they praised God. Everybody look up here. Brother Derek, have you ever praised God at midnight? I praised God when I didn't know which way was up. I praise God, Brother John, when everything around me was faltering and everything around me was shaking and it felt like it was dark and it felt like it was bleak and it felt like it was overwhelming. Hey, would you agree with me? When the praise of his servants is being rendered, God will make a house call. Now, I don't have time. Go to verse 26. Isn't that the best line an evangelist has? I don't have time, but go to verse 26. So praise of his servants is being rendered. And then it said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Here, I'm not done. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. I want you to write this down. Not only the praise of his servants is being rendered, Brother John, then the power of the sovereign is rumbling. Let me say it again. The power of the sovereign is rumbling. Now you say, boy, Brother Derek, is all, what is that? That's a fancy word, rumbling. And the power of the sovereign. What do you mean? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the very place shook. There was an earthquake and every door was open and every band was burst asunder. And here's what I loved about the text. And the jailer woke up. Now, I don't know if you got that. The jailer woke up. Now, Brother Carl, here's the interesting thing. Paul and Silas praying and praising didn't wake him up. Y'all didn't hear me. But when God walked in the room, whoa, and the building began to shake. And the power of God began to rumble the building. And every door was open. And every shackle and every bondage was loose. Would you agree with me? The jailer was wiping the sleep out of his eyes. He woke up. If you agree with that, would you shout a big amen? Now hold up. And I said, okay, God, I said, what do we need? Well, what do we need in the local church? Here's what I've concluded. We need a spiritual awakening. Let me say it again. We need a spiritual awakening. I'm dealing with a generation that's asleep. I'm dealing with a generation that's unaware. I'm dealing with a generation that is unconcerned. I'm dealing with a generation that have sleep in their eyes and they're lazy and they're not involved and they're not, y'all not hear me, I'm preaching better than your amen. And someone said, why do you make it so plain? Because Granny said, plain talk is plain understood. I like that. I'm going to remember that. Hold up. Give me a minute. You say, Derek, do you think we need a spiritual awakening in the Free Will Baptist movement? Brother Carl, we need a spiritual awakening in the Free Will Baptist movement. Hey, who are we kidding? We need a spiritual awakening in America. We need a spiritual awakening. We need God. We need the sovereign God to shake the very place. And we know that God is in the house. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Now, I know I get a little caught up. But the Bible said the doors were open and their bands were loosed. I'll say this. I get asked a lot of questions when you're a traveling evangelist. Brother John, I don't know. I guess we got this look that we just know stuff. I want y'all to look up here. I don't have all the answers. I don't. I don't pretend to be a theologian. I'm not. But I will tell you this. Someone asked me the other night, they said, Brother Derek, what's holding us up? Everybody look up here. I'll tell you what's holding us. Backbiting. And bitterness. And strife. And unforgiveness. And you say, what else? Malice and strife. And would you agree with me? We need the sovereign God to walk in the room and loose us of these things. So the praise of his service is being rendered. The power of the sovereign is rumbling. Now, let's go to verse 27. Now, I want you to write this down. The praise of his service is being rendered. The power of the sovereign is rumbling. Then note this. The passion of the Savior is still reaching the old jailer. It's in verse 27. The passion of the Savior is still reaching the old jailer. Where'd you get it? And the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open. Watch this. He drew out his sword, Brother John, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Hey, how many know? Here's what this guy's job is. He is to throw Paul and Silas into the innermost prison, because if they escape, he knows that they will kill him. His superiors will kill him. And now there's a rumbling. And now not only is their praise going up and rumbling, and all the doors are open and every man's bonds is loosed. And so this just jailer, he looks out and he thinks to himself, I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. So he takes matters in his own hands and he draws out his sword and he's about to commit suicide. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. But everybody, listen to me. I don't care how dark your life gets. It's never a right time to commit suicide. Someone said, Brother Derek, this is the time of the year that more antidepressants are handed out this time of year than any other time of the year. That's true. And Brother Bill, there's a lot of depressed people. There's a lot of people walking around our churches that are depressed, that are discouraged, and they're thinking about, they got this thought in their mind, and they're battling this, and they're battling that. Listen to me. Never a good time. Never should you commit suicide. Look up to the hills whence cometh your help. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Now let me say, the passion of the Savior is still reaching the old jailer. Now, all I can tell you about the jailer is this, without spending a week on it. And I will tell you, he's cruel. I will tell you, he's probably hard and he's probably rough because of his job. I do believe sometimes people are a product of their environment. Amen. Amen. Probably is probably very self-sufficient and thinks of no one else of himself. And he's about to commit suicide. And we'll read on. Look at verse 28. And so invert the last phrase, supposing that the prisoner had fled. That's the last phrase of verse 27. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Do not miss it. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hold up. Whoa! Brother Derek, you can't double shout on a Sunday. Whoa! You can double shout on Sunday night. You listen to me. You remember what he said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Someone says tonight, Brother Carl, Paul should have remained silent, because that's a rough old guy. Everybody look up here. No, Paul shouldn't have remained silent. He told him, we're all here. Do yourself no harm. And then the jailer said, Brother John, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You believe what you want to, but I don't care how dark your loved one is. I don't care how far gone your loved one is. Is anybody glad there's still a Savior that can reach way down? There's still a Savior that can make a house call and change their life forever. Hallelujah. Now, You say, man of God, preacher man, are you ever going to get done with the first house? Well, I think we're done with house number one. And I do have good news. My last house is the shortest of the houses. Brother Bill, he's a good friend of mine. He said, Brother Derek, you could have took a lot more time. He said, I'd have listened to you. He said, you just sound like you just got up there. I like people like Brother Bill. They make you want to preach a little more. Amen. Because everybody else is doing this. Hurry every time. Don't amen right now. Just leave that off. Here's the sermon. Look at the Philippian jailer's house. Can I assure you, just as God was making house calls in the prison house, God was making house calls in the Philippian jailer's house. It's amazing how God can work any place at any time. He don't have to have a church. He can do it in a home. Read the other day, Brother Carl, of a man that was born in the old home place. Tears welled up in the corner of his eyes, and he pointed you under the bedroom. Brother John, here's what he said. He said, right there. He said, right there in that little bedroom, that bed. He said, my mama gave birth to me. Tears is piling furrows down his face. He said, but that wasn't the greatest day of my life. He said, a few years ago. He said, I knelt down by that same bed and told God I was a sinner. And I needed to be saved. And he said, I was spiritually born, not only physically born at that bed, but I was spiritually born. Old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. And he said, I had two births, a physical birth and a spiritual birth. Give me a few minutes. You say, man of God, what's going on at the Philippian jailer's house? I want you to look at verse 34. I'm in Acts chapter 16. I'm in verse 34. And I know I'm going to get blessed here because this is a good point. The Bible said, you know, sometimes when you're in doubt, just tell them it's a good point. Because it is a good point. Look at this. And when he brought them into his house, there's that word, Brother Carl. He brought them into his house. He set meat before them. Everybody look up here. Well, what happened at the Philippian jailer's house? I'll tell you what happened. It's where the hungry are nourished. You didn't hear me. It's where the hungry are nourished. The Bible said he set meat before them in that little verse. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now leave that on the screen because that's amazing to me. Here is the whole sermon. Here is the point. Hey, it's where the hungry are nourished. And someone said, you say, man of God, I really don't get it. I've never been to prison other than to preach. They tell me the food isn't very good. And everybody look up here. Matter of fact, I would, if I was thinking right, Brother John, if the prison food today's not any good, what are the chances back here in Acts? Probably water and bread. And everybody look up here. I'm all for crackers and water. And when you ain't got anything else, make you a wish sandwich. Smash two pieces of bread and wish you had some meat. And trick yourself into believing it's real good. It's obvious I've been eating more than that. Somebody, don't amen. Now you listen to me.
Brother Carl, they didn't eat well in the prison. Probably didn't have a lot of great food there in the prison. It was probably crackers and water or bread and water. But the Philippian jailer, Brother John, cooked them a home cooked meal. Where the hungry are nourished. Now, I'm going to take a little liberty here and say, you say, Brother Derek, what are you talking about? Everybody look up here. Can I remind you on a Sunday night, just a little before 7, can I remind you, God isn't in the microwave business. He's in the home cooked meal. Now, I've been preaching. I started when I was 13. And Brother Carl, I know this is the last part of November and all of December and almost 3/4 of January. I'm doing mainly Sunday morning, Sunday nights. I could get used to that, I think. Here's what I know about home-cooked meals. Have you ever, since you've been saved and going to church, have you ever been hungry for something that the world couldn't give? Now, I'm not talking about turkey and dressing. I'm not talking about pinto beans and cornbread and mashed taters and pork chops or fried chicken. I'm talking spiritually. You were hungry for something that the world can't give. You're not hearing me. That the world can't provide. Is anybody glad on a Sunday night? God has a table where the hungry are fed. God has a place where the hungry are nourished. Ladies and gentlemen, God will make a house call and you can feed at the table of God. Hallelujah. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd shout for 30 minutes. But I'm telling you, the hungry are nourished. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Go to verse 33. I'm in Acts 16, verse 33. Go back one more verse. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed. Everybody say washed.
Washed.
Now I'm not going to play off that word, but he said, and washed their stripes. Now, I just want you to give me a minute or two. And the Bible said, so the hungry, what's going on at the Philippian jailer's house? The hungry are being nourished. And then in verse 33, the Bible said, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed them. Now, here's what I want you to write down. Here's the second principle that's going on in the Philippian jailer's house. The hurting are nursed. Let me say that again. The hurting are nursed. Now, I'm going to put the jelly on the bottom shelf. They've been beaten. They got dried blood on their back. Paul and Silas have been stripped of their garments. And Brother John, they have been beaten and they have been stripped and they have been, hey, I'm telling you, they got blood. And then they crammed their clothes back on them. And now they sat down, Pastor, and they've ate a good meal. And now they're getting their wounds and their hurts. They're getting it washed. Don't miss it. Washed. And I said, God, what's going on in that jailer's house? He said, Derek, the hurting are nursed. Everybody look up here. I don't have to tell you. I've never dealt with a more wounded, hurting generation than the generation I'm preaching to. I've never seen more hurting, wounded people that walk into our churches. And everybody look up here. Here's what we do. We've got it down. We hold our King James Bibles. How you doing? And on the inside, we're bleeding. We shake hands, John, and we hug necks, and we act like all is well in our homes and all is well in our life, and we're not really hurting and we're not really wounded and we're not really battling, and you might not amen and you might nod your head, but there's some people on this Sunday night service, you've walked in hurting, you've walked in bleeding, you've walked in wounded, and you've walked in here needing some aid and some assistance. Can I tell you, on a Sunday night, God still makes house calls. He can heal the hurt that's going on in your life. Wow. You say, Brother Derek, is that all you got? No. I'm an evangelist. We always got a little more. I'm not a hunter. I fish very rarely. My daddy, everybody look over. My daddy's name, Bill Stinnett. If he calls me tomorrow, you know him. If my daddy calls me tomorrow and says, Derek, I'd like to fish. Everybody look up here. If it hair lips the governor, I'm going to go fish with my daddy. My daddy's aging, Brother Carl. But they tell me when a deer is struck with an arrow, here's what they tell me, John. That deer has instincts. And that deer runs for the running water. Everybody look up here. He don't go to the water that's stagnant and just setting. He goes to the creek where the water is flowing. That verse says, wash. Hey, I don't know if you studied it much, but it means an abundant amount. In other words, a little dab won't do you. Amen. Get it to gushing, boys. Let's get us a spout where the water can come out and clean the wounds and clean the hurt. And so the deer runs into the running water, and he exposes his body, and he lets the water run on the wound to create a healing in his life. Everybody look up here. You say, Derek, where are we going to find such a place? I'm looking at it. You say, but Brother Derek, I've been going to this church all my life. I don't want anybody to think I'm hurt. I don't want anybody to think I'm wounded. Well, baby, after a while, it's going to come out of your eyes and come out of your vocabulary. We're going to be able to tell. There's hurting people in this room. And there's a water supply where God provides healing. Now, so I preached a little bit about the jailer's house, the Philippian jailer's house, the prison house. I told you I'd be quick. And I'm going to talk about, because I want it to alliterate and make it make sense. Let's go over them. Prison house, Philippian jailer's house. Write this down. I'm done. The purple seller's house. Amen. The purple seller's house. Who's that? Lydia. Brother Carl, she was a businesswoman. Very strange in the Eastern culture for a businesswoman to be successful. Lydia, everybody look up here. Lydia was a successful businesswoman. In a male-dominated world of business, she was successful. And Thyatira, which was 200 miles from Philippi, I'll make a long story short, Paul and Silas from the Antioch church was on a missionary journey in the Philippi. And they tried to leave. The Holy Ghost would not let them. You remember that? Brother John, God wouldn't let Paul and Silas leave. And God had the whole thing set up. And Lydia, Paul and Silas, Brother Carl, they go to Lydia's house, the purple seller's house. And then Paul, in a quiet conversation with Lydia, he leads Lydia to the Lord. Everybody look up here. He set the whole thing up. Brother Deacon, I tell you, when you got saved, it was a setup.
Amen.
Brother Carl, when you got saved, it was a setup. Brother Bill Rogers, all the way in the back, when you got born again and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, that wasn't because Bill's a good man. It wasn't because Bill's, y'all ain't hear me. It ain't because Bill was born in Oklahoma. The reason he got saved is God set the whole thing. I'll give you two stories and I'm done. I went to Wellington, Kansas. Brother Zane Brooks is the pastor of the Free Will Baptist Church. I believe it was a guy named Spencer, if I think it was Spence. We call him Spence. Spence invited a boy named Josh Bush. Josh Bush, everybody look up here. Josh Bush was a meth head. Josh Bush was a dope addict. It was a Sunday morning. Someone told me years ago, now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, September the 16th, just a few months ago, it had been 15 years since Josh walked into that service that morning in Wellington, Kansas. Now everybody look up here. I'll tell you why I know that in just a minute. Anyhow, I preached that morning. It was 2001. I would tell y'all I had hair, but I'm not. Brother D, I'm not sure I did. I preached that morning on the mule walked on. I believe Brother Bill loved that sermon, if I'm not mistaken. Preached the mule walked on. And Josh Bush, I'll never forget it. Josh walked down the center aisle and come to this side of the church and bowed his head and he wept and he cried and he got born again. The last 5 years, 6 years, Brother Carl, every year around the 1st of September, Josh Bush sends me a personal text and says, "Thank God for the preacher." Everybody look up here. Can I tell you what blesses me about God setting that whole thing up? Is right after he got saved, 5 years later, after he got saved, he accepted the call to preach. Amen. He's pastoring one of our churches and running 300 plus. Everybody look up here. God is an orchestrator. I was preaching and I said I would. I told you to. I done closed my Bible and y'all look so free. Y'all don't even look nervous. It's only 7:10 after 7. And you know, I just got up here. Y'all's gracious. But I will close with this. I went, Brother Carl, you'll know him. I went to preach for Brother Danny Phillips. Brother Danny had never heard me, his youth pastor at the time. I could call his name, I will if you asked. His youth pastor had come and heard me, and he told Brother Danny, he said, "You need to get this guy to hold you a meeting." Danny did bring me in, and Brother Danny did. Let me give him. He brought me in, and he said, "Derek," he said, "I don't ever want to have revival without praying with the man I bring in to preach." I like that. I bowed with him. I was on one side and he's on the other. And here's what he said. Tears come in his face. And he said, "Hey, Derek, I'm not going to tell you where he sits. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I'm just going to tell you, Derek, I got a man in my church. He's probably in his 70s. And he's lost. And he's on his way to hell. He said, I want you to pray that he gets saved." I said, "I will." John, I said, "I will." That's what I said. I said, "I will." Here's where Derek's going to be more transparent. I tried to preach my best sermon Sunday morning. I could tell that went over real good, huh?
I preached my second best sermon Sunday night. My third one, this will finally end. There's only five nights. My third best and then my fourth best. Because this was 15 years ago, I'd run out of good sermons. Don't amen that, Sister Virginia. Now look up here. And I told God. I said, God, I ain't got any more good sermons. God said, I've been waiting on you to get over yourself. I'm going to use you tonight. Brother Carl, he told me to preach on the resurrection. I hate to be this transparent. I argued. I said, that ain't going to get him. God said, son, you obey me. I remember bowing my head and I said, God, I'll preach it any way you want. I'll start. Give me the text. Give me how you want me to work. I'll do it exactly like you want me. I got up and bumbled around. Gave my best and gave an altar call. If you know anything about airport, and you can ask Brother Danny, this is how it happened. One shouted over here and another one said, glory to God over here. The old 70-year-old man walked the aisle and bowed his head and got gloriously saved. I come back the following year. This precious wife came up to me and hugged me. She said, Derek, did you know, have you heard about my husband? I said, no. The only thing I remember is he just got saved. She said, he did. I think it was either 2 or 3 months later, he had a massive heart attack and died. God set the whole thing up. Is anybody glad on a Sunday night? He makes house calls. In the prison house. In the Philippian jailer's house. In the purple cellar's house. He makes house calls. Would you stand all over the room, sis? Would you come help me play the song of your choosing? Father, I humbly bow in your presence. I thank you for your good spirit.